My name is John Loftus. I'm a former federal prosecutor. Before then, I was an Army officer, and I've been for 30 years under security restrictions about what I could write. And now the classification clock has expired, and I was able to write a book called America's Nazi Secrets that includes all the stuff that's been censored out of my other 7 books the last 30 years.
Okay, so what kind of stuff's in there that wasn't in the previous books?
Oh, there's a good bit. I mean, all of the material about the Vatican, how they helped smuggle the Nazis and the Nazi money out of Europe after the war, the American and British role in wiretapping each other's citizens without search warrants, so each side can truthfully swear they're not spying on their own people. They're not. They're just trading information with each other. A really clever scheme, and I had access to the Attorney General's files that really showed exactly how they concealed the secret relationship with the British from Congress, and I assume the British have done the same thing with Parliament.
Are you saying that you think that there actually were, the Nazis successfully managed to sort of regroup after the Second World War? I mean, you know, what was actually going on in the late 1940s, early 50s?
Well, in the late 1940s, the British Secret Service established a policy of reviving pre-war British intelligence networks in Eastern Europe and in the Middle East. And many of these people had collaborated with the Nazis during World War II. But the British argument was, look, these chaps might have fought with the Germans in the last war, but they're not really Nazis. They're really anti-communist freedom fighters. Now, unfortunately for the gullible Americans who swallowed this line, the British guy who sold us the freedom fighters was a chap by the name of Kim Philby, and he was the highest-ranking communist spy ever to penetrate the British Secret Service. So instead of getting freedom fighters, we ended up with the dregs of the Nazi war criminals. Now, granted, the UK and Canada got far, far more than we did. We only got the tail end of it. But for the last 3 decades, the British government has absolutely censored out any mention of this material. The Windsors, you know, King Edward, you know, his mistress Wallis Simpson, the American, was really a major Nazi agent, and she co-opted him. I saw the Justice Department top secret files where J. Edgar Hoover considered Windsor such a dangerous Nazi agent, he didn't even want him interned in the Bahamas during the war. He wanted him imprisoned where he could keep an eye on him. And in fact, one of your famous British historians, Anthony K. Brown, called me and begged me not to mention that the once king was a Nazi collaborator. And my reply was that the people of England didn't fight World War II to make England safe for Nazi retirement. So British readers will find a lot of particular interest. I think the most amazing story is the Arab Nazi network. It started in Egypt in 1928. The Muslim Brotherhood were devout admirers of the Third Reich. In heaven, Allah, on earth, Hitler. And they had 750,000 members during World War II, and they promised General Rommel that he wouldn't find a single British or American soldier alive by the time they reached Cairo. What I'm seeing is that there is a heresy in Islam called Salafism, in Saudi Arabia it's called Wahhabism, that were pro-Nazi, and that the old Muslim Brotherhood of the neo-Nazi network grew up and split off and became Hamas and Al-Qaeda, and all the extremists. Islam is a very peaceful, moderate faith. What we have with the Salafists is a heresy against Islam. And what history has been withheld is that it is a Nazi heresy, that the Nazis organized this religious campaign during World War II, and the British Secret Service hired the Muslim Brotherhood after World War II to crush the infant state of Israel. When that failed, the Muslim Brotherhood were eventually booted out of Egypt by the new secular government under Nasser, and Philby successfully conned the Americans into taking over his Arab Nazi networks. And so we used the Arab Nazis as sort of a proxy army during the Cold War to fight the Arab Communists.
And don't you think that there's some parallels with the U.S. using Muslim networks in Afghanistan under the Russian occupation?
It's not a parallel. It's the direct descendants. Then all Nazi members of the Muslim Brotherhood were used to recruit the Mujahideen in Afghanistan in the 1980s. That's how the networks of the Mujahideen grew up in London and in the United States. To this day, America is the only Western nation that does not list the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist group. All the European states, even the Arab nations, regard the Muslim Brotherhood as that. But that's because we had this tiny group within American intelligence. We had 10% of American intelligence were recruiting Nazis, while 90% were hunting them.
Now, you've mentioned the Catholics as well. I mean, is it fair to say, do you think, that there are small factions within these faiths, in the Catholic faith and in Islam, that are actually just kind of puppets of the intelligence services?
Yes. Now, I'm Catholic myself, and I think we have to recognize that there was a small group of pro-fascist clerics in Rome that were pro-Nazi. And to a small extent, Pius XII, the Pope during the war, was neutral in favor of Germany. He had been stationed in Germany after World War I, and he was troppo tedeschi, too much the German, the Italians would say.
What about Sullivan and Cromwell, a law firm in the U.S. that was used to launder quite a lot of the Nazi money and gold that was looted in Europe? Do you know anything about them?
I know a great deal about it. Sullivan and Cromwell set up a merger between the British corporation Brown Brothers and the American corporation, the Harrimans. Now, the Harrimans were a democratic family, later governors of New York, ambassadors to Moscow. But it was set up by Herbert Walker. It was the father-in-law of Prescott Bush, who was the father of President 41 and grandfather of President 43. So Herbert Walker put his son-in-law on the board of Brown Brothers Harriman, and quite frankly, we had this American corporation represented by the Dulles brothers in their law firm, and this was the firm that cloaked American and British investment in Germany. Some of America's finest families and Britain's finest families invested in Germany between the wars. It was extremely profitable. And quite frankly, you know, President Teddy Roosevelt had outlawed trusts and monopolies and cartels in America. So these British and American families decided that they would move their money offshore. And they bought the corporate control, if you will, of Germany, Bolshevik Russia, and what became the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. Well, two out of three of their investments paid off handsomely. My sense is this stuff was 90% stupidity and only 10% conspiracy. The hardest thing for my friends on both the left and right to accept was that after 30 years with the intelligence files, my conclusion was that it was all about the money. These people funded the infant Bolshevik Party at the same time they were funding the infant Nazi Party, at the same time they were funding the birth of the Islamic extremist movement. So they didn't care about ideology. I mean, sharks swim in parallel lines, not because they're in conspiracy, but they're all racing towards the blood in the water.
What about the London bombings? There is a quite an interesting character involved in all that called Haroon Aswat. What do you know about Haroon? Because he's someone who seemed to have almost like a magic ticket to get out of jail.
Yeah, Haroon Aswat was according to the Muslim informants in London, was work with the British Secret Service. Captain Hook, the imam in London, talked about how his assistant worked with the British Secret Service in some operations in, was it the Balkans or the Crimea? I forget. And anyway, it identified him as an MI6 agent. And of course, when he came to America and tried to recruit people to build a training base in the Northwest, everybody above him and below him was prosecuted by the Americans, but not him. Aswad had the magic get-out-of-jail card. He worked for the British Secret Service. Everywhere he would go, the British would keep him one step ahead of the CIA that were desperately trying to arrest him. It was really comic opera stuff.
But, I mean, you may say comic opera, but quite a lot of people here are concerned because he was in touch with the four alleged bombers on the London bombings back in 2005.
You know, it's funny. Your government brought me over to lecture at an international seminar on money laundering for terrorism. And I was sitting next to someone from Scotland Yard, and he was just insistent that there was no connection between the London bombers and any international terrorist group. And my friend had just, my private investigator, had just helped one of your television stations film an American terrorist meeting with the London bombers. You know, it was just absurd. I think there was so much embarrassment about the Arab Nazis, the Muslim Brotherhood, and the outgrowth of these organizations, which were really second generation members of the old Arab Nazi movement, the Muslim Brotherhood. That's where these kids came from. There was so much embarrassment in Britain that no truthful information was distributed to the police about who they were. The same thing happened in our country. I had a friend go through the CIA's files for the Muslim Brotherhood, and they're almost blank, just a few press clippings. You know, they have no idea of the history of this organization. And you can't understand the evolution of modern terrorism or its connections worldwide without knowing who the Muslim Brotherhood is or where it came from.
It's not very likely, I imagine, I don't know what you think, but that these four chaps acted alone.
Oh, no, they didn't act alone. I mean, it's just, you know, it follows a well-known paradigm. I think the Scotland Yard has subsequently retracted their allegation that these guys acted alone. There's now overwhelming evidence that they were connected with the international jihadist movements. But the unspoken words are, everybody's sponsored by the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood is a logistical arm of all the second-generation Nazi-slash-terrorists, if you will, Hamas, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, Muslim Brotherhood, Al-Qaeda, all the Sunni-based terrorist organizations come directly from the Muslim Brotherhood.
But you see, most people will say, John, the Muslim Brotherhood disappeared years ago.
I think they'd be in for a bit of a shock if they Googled two words, Bana, B-A-N-N-A, and the word Nazi. You'll find some interesting article from the Asian Times where British writers have written extensively about how this Arab Nazi group evolved to work for British and American intelligence.